I believe today's scripture reading is so powerful, probably because Philip is dressed up. When I saw he dressed up, I'm kind of surprised. Is it because of Oilers? No, it shouldn't be because of Oilers, right? Is it because of Father's Day? Then I know, yeah, because we have a tradition of, is it graduation tea, right? So that's fine. Today is Father's Day. I'm thinking about long time ago when I married after 5 years. Finally, I have the courage to be a father. So my first son, or our first son, was born after 5 years after our marriage. At our time, usually the newly wed will probably 1 year, 2 year, or 3 years, then we will have our first child. Yeah, and that is in my generation. And why I have to wait for 5 years? Many reasons. And one of the reasons is I don't have the confidence to be a father. Can you imagine that? I don't have that kind of confidence. That is because of many, maybe background or my bring up or whatever. But I always surprised why there's no school for being a father. There are a lot of certificate degrees or whatever kind of diplomas, right? Or even a course. I know recently along the years, there are so many different counseling, psychology, and whatever parenting courses. But in my time, there's nothing. So that's why I always surprised why such an important role to be a father. And there are so many obstacles or bad experience. I need a degree, a degree on fatherhood, a degree on how to be a parent, how to be a father. But there's none. And along the years, I read many books, how to prepare myself better. And after I read all those new discoveries or those psychological studies, wow, there are so many complexity between father and son, father and daughter, or a person whose father is not in the world anymore, but still we have so many souls searching for fatherhood. So in terms of this complexity, I choose a passage that is so famous. And our lovely Philip, you are such a good scripture reader with vivid reading to us. So I don't need to go into the scripture too much, but I still borrow this scripture to let us know a topic called looking for father. This is a parable that's famous for a prodigal son, right? In terms of this scripture context, it should be a context or a scripture for looking for prodigal. And prodigal usually we describe as a son. But I want to borrow this parable. You know, don't argue with me for exegesis or hermeneutics, how I trace the meaning from this scripture. Because parable, you know, what is parable? Parable is always have a space for imagination. Yeah, we still have to base on the fact, but still there's a room for imagination. This is a parable for prodigal son. How about can we use it as a parable for prodigal father? So that's why searching or looking for father. This famous scripture starts with the younger son. If there's no request from the younger son, there's no parable. The younger son one day requests to his father, "Father, give me the part of your property which will be mine." We don't need to compare the time. Even today, if a father still healthy and alive, can you request your portion? Wow, it's disrespect, right? If you allow me to use a sentence or in Cantonese, I would say, "你当我死噶?" A father should be, well, really sick, almost die, then maybe you need to ask, do you have a will, right? But I'm still healthy, I'm still so young. How can you request my portion? But this young son really disrespectful and then asked for it. I'm always surprised with this scripture. If the father say no, period, no parable. But the father allowed this younger sons have such kind of a request. It surprised me. And it also point that, you know, for a father, only the heavenly father has this kind of allowance to allow us to even send out an unreasonable request. This kind of liberty is costly. Costly to the father is also costly to the son. But no matter how, the story go on. The younger son got together everything which was his. When I read this, I always imagine, is he asked an actuary or accountant to calculate clearly, okay, my portion is what I got. Now then, with the good bookkeeping accounting, then he said, took a journey into far away country. That's the story starting. Obvious, if the son is still at home, he should remember his father. But when the son far away journeying, there's a saying called out of sight, out of mind, right? The forgotten father. The forgotten father. But I will try to use the perspective from the perspective of being a father. When you say your children forgot about you or disrespect you, is it a time for us to reflect, or even maybe the father need to confess, because I did something wrong so that my children, they forgot me, the forgotten father. Once upon a time in Stanford University, they did a survey. They said 23% of fathers were rarely seen at home. And 62% fathers at home, but not present. And 15% fathers and children, they have a healthy relationship. I don't know whether this is a surprise to you or not. I won't ask you whether you have a good relationship with your own father, but no matter how, it shows some of the stat, some of the reality check. If you think your children forgot about you, is it because you never at home? Of course, a father, we have so many different roles and different challenges of responsibility. That's why I cannot be always at home. But you still have to think about your fatherhood, your role of being a father. There's a kind of request long time ago, about 40 years ago, okay, in Taiwan. Why 40 years ago? Because at that time, the China market is widely open, and there are so many opportunities for people to invest, do trading, do all kind of good work so that they can get a big profit. So from Taiwan, there are so many fathers, so many men, so many expertise. They went into China to do their good investment. So in Taiwan, there's a big cry out for a slogan. Father, you better to come home to eat dinner. It's so sarcastic, right? Father is in China. How can they come home for dinner? But it's a reality. It's a good indication for every father to think twice. Do you eat your dinner at home? Yeah. As a senior pastor, you know, we always have meeting at night. And for the past 20-some, 30 years in Edmonton, to be a senior pastor, I have a practice of Wednesday night, Friday night, and Saturday night, I usually don't eat my supper at home because I do my own discipline of my time management. So I always bring two lunch box for Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday because I always have meeting on those 3 days. And I try to maximize my work hour. So for a week, 7 nights, I just have 4 nights eat supper at home. Well, when I share this, Avery, you don't have any pressure, okay? You don't need to follow me. That's my time management. Yeah. But I have to make sure the other 4 nights, most of the time, I really eat supper with my kids. And the most challenging thing is not only eat supper at home, but also the father at home, the father presence at home, because there are 62% of fathers always at home, but they are not present. So the challenge right here is not whether you eat supper or not, it's how you eat supper with your kid. But I know for English congregation, you are more focused on work and life, right? Balanced life, that's a good improvement. But for my generation, I copied that from my dad, from many old tradition, Chinese father, always out there. Then I have to tell myself, I have to intentionally to do a better job to be a father. So the forgotten father is a time for us to reflect ourselves, whether we did a good job as a father. Once upon a time, there are 5 men. I don't know why they chat to each other. Well, they talk about politics, talk about maybe hockey or whatever. But suddenly, a guy mentioned, hey, what is your relationship with your father? Is it common for guys to talk those things? It's not common, right? But to my surprise, those 5 men, 3 of them, they said, wow, if we talk about our relationship with my father, it's just like open a Pandora box. So it's hard to open up this topic. And the other 2 men said, well, there's no opportunity to talk about it because their father is not on earth anymore. Wow. The man, is hard to talk about something, the relationship of a son and father or a daughter and a father. With traditional Chinese, father is always not talkative, right? So that's why when I read a book years ago, actually it's in the 70s, there's a psychologist, famous psychologist in the state. He printed out a book called The Inexpressive Male in United States, and then hyphen. This is the tragedy of American society. If for Caucasian, for Westerners, they still observe male is hard to express ourselves. So that's why for the Chinese father, you have to excuse us. Our father is like that, so we are like that. But when I became a father, I intentionally to tell myself, I cannot be inexpressive. So maybe I mumble too much to my son, right? I try to express myself to correct my father figure. Years ago, in 1985, that is in Hong Kong, at that time we just have 2 major TV television stations, and there were only 2 major radio stations. But for that year, they have a competition, a big competition for the best lyric and new songs, pop songs, at that year. And there's a song, get the first prize. And that song have the following lyrics. It's not about how to sing, it's mostly about the lyric. And you excuse my translation, I try to translate as the best because it's a Chinese song. But the lyrics said, a chair that has been left empty with no one sitting on it still makes me cannot help but get closer. Once upon a time, long ago, my father looks like a giant in this chair. Looking at the empty chair alone makes me sad. Why? Why wasn't what I want to say made clear before? I was too lazy to say I love him. This song is called Empty Chair. Why it hits so many people or even generations of people in Hong Kong? Because it discloses a very deep relationship between the father and son, father and children. For this scripture, the second part is not the youngest son, but there is an older son, right? The older son should be the one never left the family, never separate from the father. But at that day, when his brother came back, they all celebrate like a party. And when the loyal, faithful older son came home, but he was angry and would not go in. And his father came out and made a request to him to come in. But he made answer and said to his father, "See, all this year I have been your servant, doing your orders in everything. And you never gave me even a young goat so that I might have a feast with my friends. But when this your young son came, who has been wasting your property with bad women, you put to death the fat young ox for him." You all know about this older son. We call it not a young prodigal son, this is the big old prodigal son. He never separated with the father, but he never really echo and understand the father's heart. Right? This is the distant father. That means you never really get close with your children. I try to use the perspective from the father, the distant son, the distant father. Just like the statistic from the Stanford, father not at home, father at home, but not presence. So that's why we still have many fathers day and night at home, but not necessarily have a good relationship or a good fatherhood with their children. The distant son. That's the distant father. This kind of psychological deep feeling is never easy. Never easy. And that's why somehow, just like the empty chair, the pop song from Hong Kong, it described the son's regret or thoughtfulness of the father. But on the other hand, maybe because the father never expressed himself, the father never reached out and tried to explain the deep feeling that he has with the children. This is two-way. It's always complex because it's both sides, right? Both sides, we need to reach out so that we can really connect to each other. Don't blame just by one side, but we have to reach out. So that's why when I became a young father, I learned hardly, sometimes learned hard lesson as well. Now I'm not a young father anymore, I'm an old father. I still learn how to reach out to my adult son. Even my both son, they are fathers now, then I try to observe and try to learn how to connect each other. Even they are no more live with me, but sometimes we still get together. Every Monday night, we have the Wong's dinner. So my wife will cook, because right now we are not only two parents, we have three couples of parents and four grandkids come together, very busy. We're busy with feeding them, but I also lay back and observe how they relate to each other and how I should be a good grandfather or a good old father to my grown-up son. It's a learning curve. Sometimes it's hard as well, but I will try to learn how to keep the distance closer. Sometimes when the children grown up, they won't look up to you anymore. I always joke about children or fatherhood. You just have about 10 years. When your kids are 10 years younger, somehow, sometimes they will look up to you. You are a hero because you are the father. But after 10 years old, maybe nowadays even earlier, they will see you guys are no more a hero. I just talked with a very famous physician. He is a surgeon. He's a chief surgeon for a hospital. And he just talked with me because he's in the 80s. And he said, "Wow, when I grow older, I always think and feel I am more dumb in this age. Even when I went to my son's home, I cannot open up their television. So many different wires and things. And my son will ask, oh, his grandson just came and helped your granddad. And the grandson is just about 5 years old. And click, and can open the TV. A chief surgeon feel that we are old and more dumb. So how can we keep the distance and shorten the distance between generations? Many theories, many talks, but not easy to put into practices. So that's why, as a father, we need to learn. As a grandfather, we need to learn harder how we can grow together. Not only the children grown up, the grandchildren grown up, actually the father, the grandfather, has to grow up as well. That is my learning from this passage. Because when the older son hears kind of distance with the father, maybe as a father, we need to shorten the distance so that we can grow together and have a better connection and relationship. And within this parable, there's a turning point. The turning point is to point out we are facing a new generation of people with parents but have no fathers. It looks strange, right? You have parents, how come you don't have fathers? It's a kind of trick to implies, yes, you have parent at home, but the parent has to activate or has to learn how to be a parent so that you have parents as well as you have father and mother. You know, if you are from Hong Kong or bring up from Hong Kong, you know, most of Hong Kong family, they have nannies, right? They have a different ethnic nannies. Long time ago, for 40 years over, many generations, they grown up because of nanny. They have a more close relationship with the nanny rather than with mom or father. So Henry Nouwen, this saying is a good observation. Not because of nanny. Sometimes your parents are not really present in your grown-up journey. And this parable has a turning point. The turning point, obvious, is because one day the younger son kind of have a great awakening. But when he came to his senses, this Bible translation is down to earth, come to senses. Then he suddenly awake. Hey, why I have to wavering? I have to wandering around and without coming home. So that's why he awake. Use a religious word. He wake up call. He repent so that one day he is not only come to his senses, but he got up and went to his father. This is a turning point for the whole parable. But if I borrow this parable for today's teaching, how can a father wake up? How can a father not only think about, learn about fatherhood, but act actively to be a better father? Then I borrow a sentence to describe it. The sentence is about the role of a father. You know, a father is not easy because we have to tackle with our career, tackle about our marital relationship and so on, but as well as when we become a father, you need to take the role how to intellectually be a good father to your children, and also how to teach our children on sexuality, emotion, and spiritual matters. It's a heavy load. It's a challenge for a father to carry out those four areas. And especially, we don't have a perfect father figure because there is no perfect parent. How can I learn to be a better father? I think we need to father ourselves. You need to father yourself. Just like this younger son, one day he come to his senses and know that, hey, I have a great father at home. Why I have to just wandering or wayfaring stranger outside my father's home? I need to come home and have my father to be my father so that I can be a better person. So I borrow this sentence, father yourself. Actually, this sentence, this description, is not from me. It's from a spiritual psychologist or a psychology with good Christian value. Because one day when a person come to this mentor, and the mentor said to this great Christian leader, actually this Christian leader, maybe some of you know him as well, his name is called Philemon Choi. Dr. Philemon Choi, he is a good counselor, great Christian leader. He know more psychology and counseling and parent relationship more than most of the pastor. But one day when he went to see his spiritual mentor talked to him and said, Philemon, you need to father yourself. Suddenly he kind of stunned. What does that mean? Father myself? I have my good father. I don't know whether at that time his father passed away or not, but no matter how, he know he has a good father and a good fatherhood, a good father relationship, and a good father figure. And he, more or less, is a good father. What does that mean, father yourself? Because his mentor saw that Philemon still try to reach out and try to search for performance, search for a better being. And the ultimate reason is, deep in his heart, he still search for a perfect father figure. I think it's a good example to let us know, even you are a good Christian, even you are a good father, you still need to learn how to continuously come to the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father, so that He can empower you, He can correct you, He can guide you how to be a better person, how to be a better father at your father journey. I don't know whether some of you know a very famous pastor in the last generation from Chinese Christian world. His name is Philip Tang. In Chinese, saying is Tan Gan Fei Moksi. He is a big giant, spiritual giant in Chinese Christian world. One day, he wrote an article, a testimony. And this testimony, the title is called Prodigal Father. It's interesting. Prodigal always describe the children, right? In this scripture, it's only prodigal son, the big prodigal son, the young prodigal son. How come there's a prodigal father? Because when he read this scripture, he can see the love of the Heavenly Father. And for a Heavenly Father like God, he will prompt every father to reach out to his children. So during that literature, he said, he repented himself for three things. The first thing is he tried to give a hug to his children. Because you know, for the old traditional Chinese father, never give a hug to the children. He has six boys, father and son. How can you hug your son, right? But I know among the English congregation, maybe your father always hug you, but it's better to reflect whether you hug your father, right? So for an old traditional father, a spiritual giant, he stepped the first step, reach out, try to hug all his grown-up son. The second prodigal father repent. That was, he tried to say, I'm sorry to his son. It's powerful. From my experience, I learned about it. Once upon a time, one of my son did something wrong. Then obvious, as a father, rebuke him, right? Because of your wrongdoing, I have the right to rebuke you. But I'm kind of lost my temper. So after the conversation, hours later, at that night, I think the spirit talked to me. Hey, how come you rebuke your sons with such a cold-blood sentence, right? So at that night, I tried to reach out to my son. And I said, son, I'm sorry. When I did that, I know, theoretically, it shouldn't be too hard. But with action, it's never easy. For Philip Tang, he did the third thing as a prodigal father. What did he do? He tried out and talked with his son and said, son, I love you. You all know, for the traditional Chinese father, it never came out from our conversation, said, I love you. I use my action to love you, right? I never will express, I love you. I think it's a very meaningful lesson for all the fathers. Not necessarily for the traditional Chinese fathers, but for every generation fathers. I think it's a good lesson for all of us. For this scripture, the most meaningful verse is at 31st. And he said to him, after the conversation between the father and the older son, he said to the older son, son, you are with me at all times, and all I have is yours. And 32, but it was right to be glad and to have a feast, for this your brother, who was dead and is living again, he had gone away and has come back. Then I have to ask you, do you think the older son really come home or came in to the feast? Does the scripture say anything about it? We don't know. It's leave it open. It's a very meaningful open. To let every audience, every reader, you choose what is your response. What is your response whether you are a prodigal younger son way far from father's heart, or whether you are the older son, you are in the family, but you never understand father's heart. It's wide open for reader to respond, to choose your own way, whether you understand your father or not. And as a father, I will let every father, you make your own choice whether you be keep on to be the forgotten father, whether you keep on to be the distant father, or whether you have the courage to awake father yourself in order to become a better father. In 1996, that was the year my father passed away. My mom passed away even earlier than my father. I'm the only child of my parent. At that year, my father with a heart attack, so he left us suddenly. Obvious, I'm very heartbroken, saddened. But after all the funeral, one day, suddenly, I have a very deep feeling. I finally became an orphan. I have that kind of feeling. I became an orphan. You know what is orphan, right? That means I don't have parent anymore. When I voice out, I became the heaven and earth orphan, my wife kind of rebuked me, and she said, "No, you are not an orphan. You have me. You have your son." But it's a very deep feeling. Why I have that kind of deep, deep feeling of become an orphan? Because when my parents were still here, I still kind of have a person that I can turn to, because I still have my father. But my father passed away. At that day, I know. Heaven and earth, I'm the only guy to take up my family role. And I have to be a more mature person and a better father and better husband so that I can carry out, not be a success pastor or a good man in the world, but also I try my best to become a growing parent, a growing father, and a growing husband. I think that is a kind of feeling, father myself. With all the audience, you have to choose your own choice, whether you come home, come to the perfect father's home, so that no matter what kind of parent experience you have, what kind of broken family you grown up, now there's a father in this world. You can come to the father so that he can make you a better person and he can father you in order to become a better father. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You always put good words in the Bible, and whether we can open up with the understanding so that we can get the blessing from your word. And may your word embedded in our life keep on pounding us, not only spiritual matters, but also the human relationship, even our parenthood in our home. We all pray this in Jesus' name. This is my family now, three generations, all guys. Of course, I have another two granddaughters, but I want to show you the old father, the young sons. And I still need your prayer so that I can keep growing, how to be an old man, how to be a father, how to be a grandfather. May the word bless us so we can have the humble heart and have a learning courage to deal with our family relationship.
Let's rise and respond in song.
How deep the Father's love for us.